football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. It is 4:40 on a Wednesday. That means it is Texans report time. Quick update here as we got you covered right here with the Astros. They continue to lead 6-0. Spencer Arrighetti continues to be in line with a no-hitter. He's got two outs here in the sixth inning.
Makes us all nervous.
Has surrendered three walks. He's is in the tough part of this lineup that Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, part of the lineup, and still no hitter at this point. Those of you, you don't talk about it. You can look at each other or not, dance, spin, whatever. You don't talk about it. These would be the dudes to talk about it. Leave it to Ron to jinx the no hitter. For me personally, I'm an adult, and I can.
My help comes from the Lord.
I don't believe in curses or whatever that is. So, I mean, I'm going to tell you what's happening. He's throwing a no-hitter. I'm not going to sit here and just...
You're an adult, but are you a real baseball fan, Ron?
Sure, yeah. So is Todd Callis, who I'm certain is saying it all over.
No. So you don't follow them then when this is happening? Because they refuse to say it. That's their policy.
Sure, Todd Callis.
And they're... No. He's absolutely not saying it.
Sure, he's one of them. Who's saying it?
No, he's not. He's 100%. It's a thing here at the station how he's been made fun of here on 610 because he won't say it because they placate to the chats and the YouTubes and the Twitter mobs of people who don't want you to say it.
I'm sure he's saying it. They're leading 6-0. And yes, I'm going to tell you what's happening.
I'm on your side here.
The biggest part of the game is we're seeing the young pitcher, Spencer Arrighetti, throwing a no-hitter, and I'm not going to placate to you, Champ Slice. I'm not. I'm going to tell the news. But also the news, as you were down there today, the Texans have gotten down to 53. And the big conversation for us, and we can go over other things more with today, some of the practice squad guys that came back. But I'm wondering, were you surprised about the Noah Brown thing?
Yeah. No, to me, I wouldn't say a big surprise, but surprising enough. And I thought more than anything, it told you or it kind of showed their hand of what they were doing elsewhere at that position. Like, I thought the Noah Brown cut was basically a domino effect of telling you what receivers were going to be on the team. Because I didn't think they were in a position, for as rich as they are at wide receiver, I did not feel like the Texans were in a position to be cutting Noah Brown and Xavier Hutchinson or cutting Noah Brown and John Metchie. So to me, it meant that at least one of those guys was safe. And more than likely, if it was Noah Brown, who a lot of us thought was guy number four that they were getting rid of, then that those other two guys, those younger two guys, were more than likely going to be on the team. And obviously that played out.
You know, it's interesting in hindsight, looking back, this explains Robert Woods and John Metchie being in the huddle so much with C.J. Stroud, like leading up to that joint practice with the Rams. It explains, not that there really doesn't need to be an explanation for Xavier Hutchinson. He's playing, he's doing what a depth receiver needs to do, playing well in preseason games from jump, practicing like a beast, playing all the special teams. So it just now, knowing that, hey, in their mind, for whatever reason, Noah Brown was not going to be part of this football team. Yep. And so they needed those guys to get work, because the fourth and fifth receiver, definitely the fourth, but if not the fourth and fifth receiver on this football team, Skeezy, is going to be an important role to the offense, not to special teams, to the offense.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree, and I would even take it further. Like, I'm glad that both of those guys made the team. I'm comfortable, especially in the roles that they're going to play. It's not like you're asking them to be your number two or number three guy. You got those guys already. But if you need to, the way you had to rely on Noah Brown in, say, the Cincinnati game, or, you know, either of those games where you had the Tampa game, even the New Orleans game that wasn't the big stat game for him, but he came up with some pretty big plays for them in that game. Can you rely on those guys to come up with big plays, and in some cases, even if they got to, carry you the way that Noah Brown did. I mean, Nick Caserio talked about it this morning where he practically won him a couple of games almost single-handedly. Do you feel like Xavier Hutchinson or John Metchie is at that level yet, or that they can perform at that level? I like to think that they can. I hope that they can, but we have not seen that. So it's cool that they made the team, but it is going to be time now to me for them to step up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's big. I think if anybody, if at the most confidence in the ability to do that, would probably be Xavier Hutchinson right now.
He should be.
Yeah.
But I like all of those guys in the role that they're going to play, I think, to your point.
If I'm playing it based off of
what we've seen
and what the Texans are actually doing, the fact that Xavier Hutchinson, when they needed to have yards, he was a lot of times, you know, this Clint, their first read. And that was, to me, early on, the concern with John Metchie. Was like, man, John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson are out there, and they are favoring Xavier Hutchinson in terms of the game plan, the first read, who they're targeting. I mean, that stood out to me early on. Yeah. Obviously, John Metchie came along there toward the end, and they both get to be on the team. But, yeah, I'm expecting another step, if you will, from both of those guys.
The other big story, we were just talking about Christian Harris going down, and I'm curious your comfort level right now with the linebacker situation with Christian Harris at least 4 weeks out.
I think that you said it properly, that they don't have another guy like that, and I don't know how you just ignore that. That doesn't mean that it's, you know, the world's coming to an end and they're not going to be able to withstand it. Other guys are going to have to step up, and I think they have some capable guys, but we can't sit here and pretend like they got another guy like Christian Harris. It would be a similar thing, I think, in a different vein if they were to lose Azeez Al-Shaair. Like, they got other guys that can play middle linebacker. I don't know if they've got an elite leader or a dude that they've got confidence in the way that they've got confidence in Azeez Al-Shaair. Likewise, in terms of the athleticism and the athletic ability, they don't have another guy that can replicate, at least from what I've seen so far, that can replicate what Christian Harris was able to give you on the back end of the season. So I think that's got to be a valid concern. The thing that Clint was hitting on earlier about the defensive line, like, that's even a question. And how does that impact your linebacker play? Yeah. Like, it's going to have a domino effect. We got to see it.
What about the running back room? I think this, and all of this matters to the team's success. But I think the biggest, B. Scott, the most noticeable, if you will, from a fan sitting in the stands is going to be, what does the number two running back look like? Like, what is it Cam? Is it Damian? Does Damian look good? Does he not look good? Is it enough carries to even matter? You know, what does that look like, and how does that play out? And now that we know that they both made the team, what does that look like in your mind?
Since everything else on the offense seems mostly settled, I think we'd all agree on that. For the most part, this offense is set. I mean, even roster-wise, the conversation we're having is mostly set. It is the conversation about the offense. Who is running back number two? And to make it even a little bit more interesting, like, we know what Joe Mixon is. He's a known commodity. If he's out there, he's obviously their top back. We got a little age and wear and tear on him. Wasn't fully healthy in the preseason and during camp. Something happened to Joe Mixon that makes this conversation even more prevalent because we're not just talking about who's running back number two.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about who's running back number one. And the eye test, I feel like, tells all of us that it should be Cam Akers. Based off of their actions and the way that they've spoken, it makes you feel like perhaps Damian Pierce has a shot at that. And so I'm not exactly sure how they're going to navigate this, but it will definitely be interesting to see what is the pecking order for the running back room.
I don't know what to think of this thing. It is the most intriguing, one of the most intriguing things for me in this game coming up against the Colts is who is it? Because one hand, like, if I look at what happened with Davis Mills last year, because I do think when we see any kind of depth chart, if they do one of them unofficial depth charts, I think Damian Pierce will be the second back.
Absolutely, he will.
But I don't know if Damian Pierce is playing the Davis Mills role from last year, where until we need to actually have a second quarterback, let's go get Case. Or are they dead serious? Are they dead serious? Because I can't understand why Cam Akers was returning kicks.
I'm glad
with
you,
2 minutes.
I'm glad you mentioned Case, because let's do this exercise. remember this time last year, we thought Damian Pierce was running back number one. And he was at the time, in the moment. So the same way, and I hate to even wish this or sound like I'm wishing this or speaking this on Damian Pierce. I'm rooting for the dude like I think most people are. But the same way he lost his starting job last year, we've already seen in camp and in the preseason a dude that looks like he's coming for his number two job this year. So could it be back-to-back years?
Yeah, but
where,
how long did it take for them to finally longer give
than
it
we
up?
Wanted, no, I understand what you're saying. Mean? Longer than we wanted it to.
Like they gave him every opportunity. Do you think they've said to themselves, we've given Damian every opportunity? Because that's not what D'Amico says. But you think internally they've said, we've given him every opportunity to where it is time that Akers is that guy?